your sword tonight? Or how many of you brought your sword on your devices? Amen. Well, I've got a good word for us tonight. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive it? Let me pray, and then we'll get right into it, okay? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just come into your presence today, thanking you for every good and every perfect gift that comes from you out of heaven. Thank you for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your word. We ask you, Father God, that you give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, that we may perceive, know, and understand what the word of the Lord says and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. And help me, Father God, as a minister of the word of God, to minister in such a way, Father God, that it stirs the hearts of the people, causes faith to arise. And we thank you and we praise you, Father God, that I can do it easily and understandably in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can agree with that, say amen, sit down, okay? I'm going to be teaching and talking tonight about our purpose. Of course, the title of my message is, Did You Know? We Have a Purpose. Amen. But this is going to go to my message tonight. How many of you have ever heard of the Believer's Ditty, D-I-D-D-Y? A ditty is a little song. It's a little rhyme. It's made to, get you quickly something in your mind. Amen. We're going to sing it. Look at your neighbor and say, oh my God, Rick's going to sing. And now somebody look at your other neighbor and say, oh my God, we're going to sing. Amen. All right. I got this. A lot of what Brother Tim was teaching on and preaching on last Wednesday night was talking about the church, being the church, everywhere they go, needed to let people know who they are. And this come up in my spirit, and so we're going to sing it. Now I'm going to sing the first line. You're going to sing it the way I do, so try this, okay? And then we're going to follow it through. It's almost like some of the old United Baptists used to be, but I'm not going to line it. I'm just going to do it. And I want to hear you all singing, okay? Even those people that are watching by way of Facebook or live TV or whatever, sing it at your house, okay? Stand up so you get your, full of air, amen, your diaphragm full of air. All right. It'll go like this. Everywhere we go, oh.
Everywhere we go.
All right, let's do it one more time. But that's the way it's going to go. It's sounding good, okay? Everywhere we go, oh,
everywhere we go,
people need to know, oh,
people need to know,
who we are.
Who we are.
This is what we tell them.
This is what we tell them.
Who we are.
Who we are.
We are believers.
We are believers.
Mighty, mighty believers. We are the believers, mighty, mighty believers. You all did a good job. Amen. You can be seated. That's what it says, make a joyful noise. That's my part. This message came, God gave it to me on, it's in February 20th, 2025. And the part that I'm going to deal with, it goes back into the faith forward vision with vision. But we're going to deal with the part that talks about our calling, our vocation. Okay? But before I do, I want to mention just a few things about vision. Okay? Because we taught on that the last time too. Vision is a blueprint for our future. Amen? You agree with that? Okay. Vision gives us our focus. It gives us a direction toward our destiny. When we were born, even before we were born, God said that I put a destiny inside of each one of us. Even before we were born, God placed a destiny in us. So, having said that, vision gives us our goal. It charts our course. Individuals need a vision. The church needs a vision. Amen. This church was started with vision. And if it will produce and go on, it'll continue with vision. Your lives will do the same thing. If you don't have any vision, you'll run off helter-skelter, basically. Nothing to tie you to your destiny. Well, God wants to tie us to our destiny, not so as a slave type thing, but we are co-laborers with Him. So the purpose that we have, I want to get into that, okay? So, if you have the mentality, or if you're, for evil to flourish, is for good men to do nothing. I said that before too. The good men that we're talking about here is the church. Right? Okay, for evil to flourish, how many of you have been watching your news and stuff? Would you say evil is flourishing? Mm-hmm. Would you say, what does that say about the church? We need to do our job better. Amen? If you're sitting around or if you're thinking, you know, I'll just get me a little bit of fire insurance, you know, as far as receiving Jesus, you've got the wrong mindset. God didn't save you just to go to heaven. Amen. That's not the reason why you get saved. God, from the very foundation of the world, had us in His heart, had the family of man in His heart. And it was His desire to be our Father and we be His children. That we be His ambassadors. We be His representatives. We be the extension of Christ here on the earth. Because He wanted us, and basically this is going to be the whole thing in a nutshell. He wanted us to produce Eden here on the earth, or to produce heaven on the earth. We'll probably get into that in just a little bit, but I'm just laying a groundwork, laying a foundation. We have sat back on our laurels, on our backside. We've been lazy. Amen. And as a result of that, evil has progressed real well. We have stayed out of the political realm. We have stayed out of the educational realm. We have stayed out of all seven pillars of society because religion has told us not to get involved. But that's not what God says. We are over all of the works of His hands. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So there's a greater purpose. There's a higher purpose. I don't think I wrote this one down, Melinda, but let's look at it. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now again, I'm a teacher, so I slow roll things. Okay? It's like that dripping faucet on a rock. It'll break that rock eventually. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge. That word savor has to do with taste. We are the savor of God in the earth today. And the Bible says in one place, I didn't write this down, but if salt, which we are salt in life, if salt has lost his savor, not its savor, if salt has lost his savor, we're good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trodden under the foot of men. Okay? So we need to be salt and light. Now how are we going to do that? We're going to draw nigh to the Lord. Amen. We're going to draw nigh to Him. Manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Let's go to the next verse, 15. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Y'all ain't in no hurry, are you? 2 Corinthians 2:15. All right. Anyhow, I'll go ahead and read it. I'm going to read this out of the Passion. It says in verse 14, God always makes His grace visible in Christ. That's the anointing and the anointed one, who includes us. Say us. All right, now say me. Us and me. Us as partners. Partners. That's more than like more than a cowboy howdy partner. It's not that. Partners. We come together. We hook up together with His vision, with what His desire is. Amen. So, who includes us as His partners of His endless triumph or His endless victory through our, get this part, yielded lives. Yielded lives. Yielded to what? Not to the world. Not to our hobbies. Not necessarily to our work. And Brother Grape. Brother Tim got into that a little bit. But the Bible says, pay attention to my word, or give attention, give heed to my word. And I like what Brother Bill Winston said. Don't look to anything else. Look to the word. And that's what we as Christians, that's what we as salt and light are going to have to do in these times that we're in right now. Because we are in a set time. Whether you realize it or not, this is your set time. This is my set time. Amen. We're also in a prophetic time. And the reason why I said it's a set time for us, because, you know, if I go according to what the word says in Genesis 6, 120 years is a long life, and that's what man is supposed to live. I said before, I'm 71 years old, so I'm middle-aged, according to that. So I've got 50 years left. And I said this before, if you're sitting around waiting for the rapture to take place, you've got the wrong mindset. It's time for the church to roll up its sleeves. And like Brother Grape said, it's time for the church to be the church. It's time for the church to rise up. Amen. It's time for the church to recognize who they are and not put baby in the corner. Amen. We've been pushed into the corner. We've allowed ourselves to be pushed into the corner. We've allowed the world to tell us what the church is supposed to be doing. You're supposed to keep this inside these four walls. No, that's not right. That's what the world perceives that the church is. Not relevant, they said in 2020 during the COVID. Not relevant. And that's the way the world looks at you. You've got religion that's on the rise, Islam religion. They're trying to take over. They're not a religion of peace, by the way. Theirs is about occupation. Theirs is about dominance. And you're going to find out that that's what we're actually supposed to be doing, not the way that they do it. Amen? Because if you don't, when it comes down to it, if you don't believe their way, off with your head. Amen? But Jesus died for us. He died for the world. So it's up to us to take the good news of the gospel. Amen? Take it out into the world. I said this the other day, the last time, you know, the world wants you to have DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's so that you will tolerate them, tolerate what religion says, tolerate what murderers say, tolerate what this one says. But when it comes to you, that don't include you as a Christian, or it does not include the Jewish family, either one. Amen? So it's not about diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's about freedom and liberty in the Lord and us being co-laborers with Him, partners with God, taking the church out. I said we have a vision in this church. The vision that God gave us was to take this gospel into this area and change this area. We've got a lot of, lot, lot of yard or a long way to go. Amen. We started, but we need to finish it. Amen. Pastor has said this before. He said we need to take the kingdom of God and press it in to this area here. So that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're getting to. I'll go ahead and finish this. So God always makes His grace visible in Christ. How many of you are in Christ? That's right. We are in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we're in Him. And He includes us as His partners of His endless triumph. Through our yielded lives, He spreads the fragrance. That's like that savor word the other day on the last verse. The knowledge of God. The fragrance of the knowledge of God. Everywhere we go. That's the reason why we sang that song. Everywhere we go, people need to know. I've seen it. I felt it. That's the devil's work. He's Lord of the Flies anyway. So we have become, in verse 15, we have become the unmistakable aroma of the victory of the Anointed One of God, a perfume of life to those being saved. The fragrance, the savor in this world. But unfortunately, the church is, they're more tied up in the things of the world. What I mean by that? We're supposed to be distinct, set apart. The world's supposed to look at us and actually see Christ in action. But no, we go about our lives day to day. We don't read the Word. Sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes we put off talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ because we think it's the pastor's job or the preacher's job, the teacher's job, or the prophet or the apostle. And it is. But those fivefold ministries, the Bible says, are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until the full stature, S-T-A-T-U-R-E, stature of Christ, that anointing. Amen. Now, I'm going to go back to one thing. And when we're talking about vision and when we're talking about our calling, the importance of that being this. The presence of God doesn't come necessarily into a believer's life or into a church service, into a move of the Spirit, unless you do the three P's. And it's not price, price, price. The three P's are this: prayer, prepare, and pursue. Now, this may sound harsh and it may sound hard, and I'm not trying to get on anybody's case. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I am trying to provoke you to do good works. That's in the Scriptures too. Amen. We're too busy pursuing other things. We're too busy preparing to do other things. We're even too busy to pray. You know, if I asked you how many people pray at home more than 5 minutes a day, or how many people read the Bible an hour a day, they would be, I'm not going to hazard a guess. We are what we are because of what we do. I'm doing this real slow because, again, I am trying to provoke you not to anger, but to provoke you to good work, because we have a higher purpose and a higher calling. And I'm tired of evil flourishing. I'm tired of seeing it in, you know, in our finances, in our families. I'm tired of seeing it in the United States of America. Amen. Righteousness, and I said this before, the voice of righteousness needs to be heard more than the voice of unrighteousness. And in order for that to take place, you, me, pastors, everybody in this church, and I'm talking primarily for this area too, we've got work to do. We've got things we've got to do. We're going to have to put things in proper perspective. Amen? Say amen or oh me. But it's the truth anyway. Now, here's the thing about it is, praying, and, you know, we've learned this. Debbie and I have learned this. When you pray, it's more than just praying in English, and the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8. But there's a place where you get to, especially where you're inviting the presence of the Lord, or you're preparing for a service, a particular service, you know, even a move of the Spirit, you've got to come into a place of prayer, spending your time putting aside, the Bible says, every sin and every weight that would so easily beset you. You've got to put that stuff aside. And God's got to have the preeminence. The Word says that too. It teaches preeminence, giving Him first place. But it's not without reward, because if you put God first place, the Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things that we want shall be added to us. We're too busy seeking the other things instead of seeking the one who gives it. One place says in my left hand is, I believe one of them says, pleasures forevermore. And then the other hand, anyhow, we seek what's in His hand instead of seeking the face of God. So it's time for the church, this church, since we're here at this church, it's time for us to seek the face of God and to come into a prayer and a place of prayer in agreement with intercession. Intercession, tearing down strongholds, coming against the power of the enemy, coming against anything that would attack the body of Christ, pulling down those strongholds, preparing, leads me to preparing. This Bible says to prepare you the way of the Lord. Amen. Make room for the Holy Spirit, the supernatural. I'm sure you're like me. I'm tired so much of the natural. I actually want to see the supernatural. We've talked about it here. I want to see people get up out of wheelchairs. I want to see the maimed who has parts gone. I want to see them made whole. I want to see people born again. I want to see people delivered, set free. I want to see my family do that. If we really, truly desire that, then you have to recognize and realize the higher calling, the purpose that God has placed in us as the body of Christ. And then we're going to have to take some time submitting ourselves to God and to His Word, and even, you know, making the sacrifice of our personal times. Amen? Because this is what it's going to take. If we're going to see the move of God that everybody's been talking about, then we are going to have to do these things that I'm talking about. We're going to have to pursue. Well, first of all, we're going to have to pray, and then we're going to have to prepare for the presence of the Lord. Amen? To pursue, I've already started into this, means to lay aside every sin and every weight and get after God. Getting after God means laying everything else aside. You'll have time for family. You will have time for work. And you also have time for your hobbies. But it shouldn't be work and hobbies before God. It should be God first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I think I'm going to throw another curve at you, Melinda. These just right at the last minute, this is what the Spirit of the Lord brought into my remembrance. Let's look at Hebrews 3, verse 14. I didn't turn it to my Bible because I was relying. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. This also goes to the statement about getting saved just so you can go to heaven. Well, thank God we get to go to heaven as believers. If we hold fast our confidence that we have from the beginning all the way to the end. All the way to the end of what? If the rapture don't take place, all the way to the end of your lifespan. All the way to the end of the age. All the way to the end when God wraps everything up. Amen. If you're alive. That's the reason why I said, this is your time. This is my time. This is our time to make a difference. And to be a part of the entire body of Christ worldwide. And believe me, there are people praying in other countries for the United States of America, because as the United States goes, so does the world. And basically, before the United States, as it goes with Israel, so goes it with the world. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. And he who curses Israel will be cursed. So, I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want to be cursed. But that word up there, partakers. That means we take part in Christ, take part of Christ. God's Word translation says, after all, we will remain Christ's partners only if we continue to hold on to our original confidence until the end. Amen. That's the last curve I think I'm going to throw at you, Melinda. But there's some more scriptures. I want us to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. But before I do, there's something I want to say too. And this is what the Lord ministered to me, and I said it the last time. But God has called us to be different. And He has anointed us to make the difference. We've got to come to a place in our understanding, knowing who we are in Christ, that the purpose that we have is to effect a change in our families, in this church, in this area, from Sayersville to Johnson County, Paintsville, surrounding areas. Amen. We're to make the change. We're to affect the change. Called to be different. You can look at, I am going to throw you a curve. Turn to Philippians 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Nope, I press toward the mark of my work. I press toward the mark of my high calling. I look forward to doing those things. But that's not what the Word says. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have a high calling. Most Christians don't realize that. We've been asleep. We've been sluggish. We've put other things first. And again, I'm saying I'm not jumping on to you. I'm just trying to provoke you to do good works, to effect a change in your life. I've got to change my family around me. You know, you start with your immediate focus, your immediate family. Then you go around to your friends, and you go around to your family. Then you go around to people at Walmart. If you go wherever you go, you represent the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So therefore, you got to live right. Amen. You got to do right. Do this right here. Amen. I'm not trying to belabor a point, but listen, we've got to get it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss our season. And you can miss your season of harvest. We can miss the season of that revival in the harvest. If you don't believe me, think about the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. And the 10 spies gave the evil report. Amen. Caleb and Joshua gave the good report. Well, guess what? Those 10 spies, because of their evil report, everybody that was 20 years of age in their family and down got to enter into the promised land. But everybody above that age, they died in the wilderness. 40 years. They waited 40 years. Joshua and Caleb, even though they had the faith, they had the right report, but it caused all of them and their families to wait for 40 years. Amen. How many of you will agree with me that this area needs revival? How many of you will agree with me that we need revival? How many of you will agree with me that we have a part to play in this to see that this comes to pass? There's churches already that are seeing revival taking place in their churches because they have prepared. They have prayed. They have pursued. So we got to do that. Amen? All right, you can go to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. Keep that in mind. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female. When God made his family, yeah, it made the devil mad. But he says in his image and in his likeness. That means that we are to operate just like he operated. Amen. We are spirit beings just like he's a spirit being. Especially since we got born again. The Bible calls us a whole new race of beings. A whole new race of humanity. We are the carriers of God. We are the carriers of the anointing. I don't know if I have it down in my notes, but one verse says that we have actually been made a holy habitation of God for the Spirit to dwell in. Where did the Holy Spirit dwell in before the new birth? The Holy of Holies. So guess what? The body of Christ today is the Holy of Holies. So, I mean, if that don't put a perspective in your life about living right and about doing right and keeping things that's from the world in their place and put a holy fire on the inside of you to want to represent God and change your life, change your family's life, change the church's life, change this area. We're called to do that. Amen. Now, going on down into this, he blessed mankind. I'm just going to jump in front of you here, Melinda. He blessed them. That's in verse 28. You got it. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. This is our purpose. This is our high calling. This is our mandate. That word blessed, it means to be empowered. Whatever we see Jesus do, we could do. Amen. When God created by speaking things into existence, so can we. I know sometimes religion says, who you trying to be? You trying to act like God? Yes. He says, be you imitators of me. Imitate means to do just the exact same. A child will do, he'll imitate his father. Or they'll imitate their mother. Whatever they see them do, they'll do. Amen. So we have been blessed. We are and have been empowered to succeed in the earth, in this realm. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Would you say that's good? Would you say there's any darkness in that? Anything wrong with that? Go to verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, why did I do that for? Because when God first created everything, it was good. It was right. We know that something happened in between verse 1 and verse 2 that made the earth dark and void. I don't want to go into that. What I wanted to do was, when he says down here to be fruitful, it means to produce his way on the earth. And that's in verse 28 of chapter 1. To produce his way upon the earth as it is in heaven. When he says to multiply, it means to increase in number. To replenish, and that's the reason why I did verse 2 and verse 1. It means to perpetually renew, to recover its former fullness. That's our mandate. Amen. The devil tried to dare me up before I even started, but he's defeated. He ain't got no feet. Amen. So, having said that, look at Philippians 3:14. I think we've already done this. Yes, we did. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, which is our job. It's our profession. It's not only a profession of faith or a confession of faith. Profession means your job, your duty. A heavenly calling. A higher calling. And I'm praying that this gets into our spirit to the point to where, without belaboring the point, that we actually see ourselves as God sees us. He calls the end from the beginning. Amen. He calls us. He sees us this way in Christ Jesus. So, I don't know about you, but look at Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have set this day thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now, I know he's talking about Zion in this book of Jeremiah. Zion is a reference to the church also, as well as to the Zion of the Jews. It's a reference to the church. I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. That's the church's job. That's what we just read in Genesis 1, 26 through 27 and 28. Turn to Psalms 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Planted. You have to see yourself as God's seed in the earth. A seed will produce after its kind. Amen. A seed is supposed to produce. And he talks about flourish. That word flourish means to thrive, be at peak performance, highly developed, highly productive. How many of you would say that's you? Don't raise your hands. Because I had to say, oh, me too. Turn to Isaiah 61:3, and I'm just about to wrap it up. It's to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So there's our purpose. It's to bring glory to God. The planting of the Lord. Today we are called the trees of righteousness. Amen. If you're in Christ Jesus, you've been made the righteousness of God in him. Did you all agree with that? Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Matthew 13:24-43. I won't go through it all, but I want to go through some of it. Matthew 13, verse 24 through 43. All right, go to verse 24. Another parable, this is Christ, Jesus, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. The next verse. But while men slept, his enemies came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went on his way. The next verse. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Next verse. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? I'm going to go through it all. Next verse. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together into the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles, and to burn them. But gather the wheat into the barn. We'll stop right there. In this parable, we're talking about the working of the enemy and the working of the righteous. The enemy is busy, especially at night, during the darkness, sowing their seed, producing and bringing forth evil. So therefore, the church has got to come alive and be the ambassadors and representatives that God wants us to be, especially since we're here in this area. Amen? Another place, another parable, and I won't have you to turn to it. I'm going to stop with it. But he says that a certain nobleman went into a country to get himself a kingdom. That's what Jesus is doing, you know. That's what God's doing, to get himself a country, to receive a kingdom. And he gave unto his 10 servants 10 talents and told them to occupy till I come. Now the word occupy is not only a military term, which means to take and hold and possess, but it's also a business term. Occupy means, and that's what he was saying, do my business. Amen. So you know the rest of that parable. All of them produced except one, and it was taken away from him. So we're called to produce the kingdom of God. Basically, that's what I'm saying. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of the anointing. We are the representatives of God in this area. And we need to stand up with our shoulders back and our head held high and tell the devil where to get off. If you're involved in teaching, if there's something that comes down the pike from the NEA or the KEA that doesn't sit well or is not agreeing with that word, and your job is to protect the kids. If you're in politics, your job is to, and as a Christian, your job is to represent Christ. What he says, what he's for, we're for. Amen. If you're in business, you're to conduct your business in a way that God would want it conducted. Amen. In truth. Nothing behind the back. Nothing under the table. So these are things that we've got to look at in our own lives and realize that we're called for a greater purpose than just to sit back and wait for the rapture, or just to sit back with an escape mentality hoping the rapture will come and take us out of this place so we don't have to fight. But no, we're in a fight. And for good, for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. We are the rightful heirs of this earth. It belongs to the Lord, but he gave it to men, he says in Psalms 115, that he's given it to us. And we are his servants. We're his bondmen. We're the ones that are to take care of this earth. We're to have dominion. You know, we're to put down anything that would come against the knowledge of Christ. Amen. So we're called to that. Say amen. Amen. I have finished. I stand up with me. Is there anybody in here? I don't see anybody. And I'm not going to perceive or take anything for granted. If you're a believer in here and everything's right with the Lord between you and God, you know it. Amen. But if not, you've got an altar here. I want you to come and pray. Amen. Now, that little song, since nobody's coming up to pray, let's do it one more time and I'll get out of the way.